Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Kim. Are you interested in becoming a sponsor for the Flying Intellectual Podcast? Would you like us to advertise your business on this platform? If interested, email us at info@flyyoungintellectual.com. That's info@flyyoungintellectual.com. We're waiting to hear from you. Peace. What's going on, people? It's your boy, Kim. Welcome back to the Flying Intellectual Podcast. Happy New Year. First episode of the year. Thank you all so much for joining us. Intellectuals, assemble, assemble, assemble. We are back. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Cool topics, intellectual vibes, flying intellectual guests. It's a vibe. And we're going to do it bigger and better than ever. I have a very, 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 very special guest with me today. We go pretty far back. This guy is like one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. He is a world-renowned musician, drummer. He's played for the likes of Usher, Backstreet Boys. I think Backstreet Boys was his first major gig, which we have to discuss that, because like how do you even do that? Kerry Hilson, Diddy, and if you want to go, he started in church, so gospel side of things, Byron Cage, the homie Gerald Scott, shout out to Gerald. He's a producer, he is a designer, owner of the brand Kairos. We'll get into that as well. And last but not least, he's a dad. He's a phenomenal dad of two beautiful young ladies. And he does everything for them and for the legacy of his last name. If you don't know who I'm talking about yet, this guy's name is Jamal Moore. Let's give him a round of applause. Welcome, my boy. Welcome, brother. Welcome. 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 Yes. Yes. Nah. Thanks for
finally made it to the podcast. I'm cool enough to be on a Fly Young Intellectual podcast.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. It's all good. It's all good. This guy, man. Thanks again for joining, bro. I love you for a lot of different reasons. We go back. Obviously, I don't remember exactly when we met, but obviously, I lived in DC. Used to be around.
It might have been like 2009.
Yeah, 9, 10. Yeah, around there. I moved to Maryland from the Virgin Islands in 2009. And then I didn't really start getting around that circle till like maybe 2010 when I started getting more acclimated. And I used to go to a lot of the gigs. I think like the first joint I went to, like the first major concert I probably went to was like Amos. Amos had the CD release at somewhere in PG. And he had Micah Smith opening up for him. Micah had that band that slept. And I'm just this like kid from the islands, and I'm like, what is going on? This is like phenomenal music, at the highest level, at like a little church, and I think like a lot of the homies were there, and you know, I just kept coming around, and niggas like embraced me, and you know, we had some good times, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Made me feel loved and appreciated, man. But talk about your upbringing, bro. Like. You know, talk about just growing up in D.C., how that affected you, how that, like, influenced who you are today.
I think my upbringing was pretty cool. It wasn't bad. Like, I had a great upbringing. My parents and my church, they looked out for me a lot, man. My dad's church used to be in D.C., like, in the heart of D.C., on Morton Street, like, Georgia Avenue, Morton Street. So, I have a lot of, like, friends that from DC uptown for what they were as uptown, and then I went to school uptown too. I went to Carroll. I went to Nativity, and I went to a few different Catholic schools uptown. So, yeah, man. So as far as like the village, my village was pretty strong. As far as like family and stuff like that. And then once I started to venture out into the music world. My village got stronger too. Started hanging with the likes of like the Earl Machetes, the Gideons, the Amos, all those guys. Kind of like that became my village, you know, it became my family away from my family, and it became my school too. You know, a lot of those guys just kind of took me in, you know, like not directly, but just kind of indirectly. And just make sure I was okay musically and make sure I was okay as I was growing up. You know, I think that a lot of people I'm not going to say a lot of people, but a few people saw my potential and saw where I could, you know, possibly go and grow to. So they didn't mind dropping those nuggets. The other people that didn't, so they were just being weird. It was just being, you know, weird to themselves like that.
Nah, I feel you. How, like, you say your village was strong. Obviously, growing up in the church, being a PK and all of that, you know, PK kind of has that negative connotation to it a lot of times, like, you know, being locked up, being not allowed to express yourself, being not allowed to, like, go out into the world and, like, you know, be yourself. How do you feel that was different for you? Because it seems like your parents were, like, always supportive.
My dad told me straight up. He said, like, you know, that was on his life, being a pastor and stuff like that. So, you know, because of that, you know, of course, we had to move a little bit differently, but at the same time, he didn't want us to feel obligated to act a certain type of way or to live in this this box that they try to put us in because of, you know, what he decided. Like, you know, if Jamal, you want to go play drums and go do these things, and Josh, if you want to go play football, like, yeah, I can do that. You don't have to necessarily, like, be a deacon or elder or apostle in church and stuff like that. So, they were very, 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 very open to us, like, you know, figuring out what we wanted to do in life. And that comes with, like, you know, experimental stuff. Like, you know, like, okay, I'm going to go on the road now. Like, wow, you going to go on the road? You going to go on the road with secular artists? And, you know, your dad's a pastor. Like, yeah, you know, he signed off on that. And because of that, you know, of course, my church is like, they were always open to us just figuring out who we were. You know, I think honestly, sometimes, I'm probably be controversial. Some of it is church, of course. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is a standard that we should live by. Somebody should be alive and be like, yo, like, how are you this blessed? Or how are you have this favor? And we should be able, you know, ministry is like, I think ministry is less talking and more so like living. You know what I'm saying? Your life should be an example. So that's real ministry to me. And I think that's in and outside of church. But to go back to your question, I don't think it was all church. I think it was also like people who weren't really into church or that are not into church that have like this imaginary code that you're supposed to live by. And they like, oh, you're a PK and you hanging with me and you doing this. Like they
judge you.
Because judge me. And I'm like, oh, like, just because I'm a PK and I do this and I do that and I pay my tithes and all that, that don't mean I can't go bowling. Come on, bro. That's like who said we can't have fun? Who can't say I can't go get the tag? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't go to the park. Like, I can't go to movies. Or better yet, I can't go. I'm going to be honest. I can't go to a lounge. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because I'm in a lounge doesn't necessarily mean I'm, like, over here getting super intoxicated and drinking and wild. Like, I might just want to be, like, you know, nowadays we got these social lounges where it's not, like, it's not even about, like, drugs or anything like that. It's about, like, me. That are in the same field as you are, like they have the same mindset as you. So it's just like a closed-minded mentality, if you ask me. Like in and out of church, you know what I'm saying? But we don't really gotta fall into it because if we fell in, I feel like we should go live on Instagram or something like that because I would love to have a conversation with a few people.
That's an important conversation for sure. Because a lot of people just feel like it has to be this one-dimensional thing. And it's just like a bunch of imperfect people that's trying to like live a certain way, and that doesn't make you, you know, more inferior or superior to anybody else. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely feel you on that. So after you growing up, you're going through high school. When do you really kind of like pick up the sticks? You know what I'm saying?
I started playing in church, and my dad. You know, I told him I wanted to play and whatnot. He saw that everyone could see, like, my gift and stuff like that. So once they went through one transition of, like, not having a drummer, they just, you know, allowed me to play and grow. And, it was around, I want to say like 12 or 13 when I started to realize like, oh, drums are cool. Like, this is a cool thing. I want to do this. I want to play drums. And, you know, I started to meet other people in the city, like other drummers and other musicians. And I started playing around town. And I'm like, wow, this is so cool. This is so cool. I'm like, I could possibly make money from this. Like, of course, I hadn't thought about career or anything like that. But I was just thinking, like, make some money to get some sneakers and little things like that. So, you know, I was around 12 or 13. And then that kind of, like, grew into its own thing. And then it was around 16, 17 when I started to see, like, oh, this could be my life. Because I started to meet other people that were, like, touring. And they were, like, recording and stuff like that. And they were, that's all they did. That was, like, you know, livelihood. So around that, between that 12 and, like, 16 mark, that's when I was I think I'm going to be a musician.
Sneakers,
like,
yeah, little things, right?
And, you know, I wasn't thinking about production or I wasn't thinking about any of that stuff yet. I was just thinking about strictly playing drums. Like, let me play drums. That would be cool. So, yeah, around that age. Around that age, that's when
and
I started.
So I think we said it in the beginning, your first major on-the-road situation is Backstreet Boys. And that's at, like, what, 19?
Yo, all right, so I'm going to get – before we even do that, I'm gonna give Byron credit. Like, so before I really went on a – before I really went – on like a crazy tour.
And this is Byron Cage we're talking about.
Byron Cage. I think I was 17 and 18. This is around the time where he had dropped Presence of the Lord and he was about to drop Bless the Lord and then he was about to drop something. Like if anybody can remember that time, like Byron was huge because he had that Presence of the Lord record was huge because they had that Kirk Carr, like him and Kirk Carr worked on that record. It just went crazy. I think I started playing with Byron. Like, I started playing his gig, I think on my 18th birthday. I remember Ken Friend, he's from Virginia. Shout out to Ken Friend. He called me and he's like, yo, remember I told you I was going to have a gig for you? Because at this point, I was, like, playing with Howard Gospel Choir and stuff like that. And playing with Howard and, like, John Mayer. I was playing around town or whatever. And he had seen me play a few times. And he was like, yo, I might have a gig for you. So I'm like, cool. So, me not thinking anything of it. He called me. This was my first year in college. And he was like, yo, you want to play with Byron Cage? I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I didn't know, like, what was going on at that moment. I was so, like, green, for lack of better words. I'm like, sure. He's like, yo, you got to come audition. I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, I'm sure, like, it'll be cool. I'm sure Byron will love you. You know what I'm saying? We got to audition a few other people. So we'll see how it plays out. And I'm like, cool. So I went audition. And funny story, it's the craziest story in the world. I'm in the church. I'm at Ebenezer AME. And I'm dropping all. Yo, I feel like we should have a... I'm representing Drink Champs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like when I drop a church name, when I drop a pastor,
put a counter
name,
up.
R&B artist name, counter. Just count me every time.
There's going to be a super name drop. There's going to be very name heavy.
Count me. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep dropping everything. And I wish somebody would say something. Like, but anyway, for real, that's my energy now. I'm old enough now. Like, I don't have time to play with people. It's not even that energy. I just think that this is a part of, like, my story. Everybody has a story, and it's a part of my story. And I don't think that in my story, and I'm going to go back to your question, but I don't think in my story I'm ever trying to offend nobody or make anybody, you know what I'm saying? I think that...
It's your truth, though. You know what I'm saying? It's your truth, and, like, you know what I'm saying? It's history.
Yeah, it's history. And it's I feel like people should know a little bit about the history. Well,
that's
crazy. Clap.
I'm here for it.
So we at Ebenezer. So it's me, Byron. No. Before Byron get there, it's me. It's Ken, Daryl, and myself, and we playing Bless the Lord. And I hadn't really played that song because I had never, even though that's like a, I'm not gonna say a DC song, but even though the writer is from DC, Isaiah Thomas, my big girl. Even though the writer's from DC, I never had another name drop counted. But which I started working with him later on and play records, but. I had never played that song before. So, like, I didn't know, like, the arrangement or anything like that. So, we ended up just jamming, like, having a good time. We ended up falling into the song. And so, Byron walks down the aisle. And so, Ken looked at me like, yo, Byron just walked in. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm still gonna have a good time. So we having a good time. He's like, yo, play, just play, man, just play. So we playing, having a good time. So Byron come. This is the honest God truth, and we kind of talk about it now. Byron came and like sat on the front row. I think it was the front row, and he just laid down like this, like laid on a pew.
Like a Rick Rubin feel.
Like he's on that couch. So Ken busts out laughing. He like, yo, Byron crazy, Byron crazy. So anyway, Byron walk up to the pulpit. He walked to the band pit, and so he stopped us. He was like, "Nice to meet you, young man." I was like, "Nice to meet you too." He was like, "Ken, so y'all never rehearsed before? Y'all just playing, right?" He was like, "Yeah, we just playing, man. We just got here, like we just having a good time, whatever." Da da da. He was like, "Interesting." He walked up the side of the stairs and like walked in his office, and so like once he did that, we played for like maybe a couple minutes. Ken looked at me. He was like, "He loves you. Yo, we about to keep going." I'm like, what? I'm like, yo, he ain't say nothing to me. He like, bro, he loves you. That's how B is. Like, B not going. I take that. He like, yo, B not going to give you too much. He want to make sure, like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, he love you. I'm like, cool. So he called me. He called me, bro. And I think it was on my 18th birthday. And my first gig was in, like, Carolina. And honestly, bro, from that point, I think it was just kind of like it just took off, bro, and it took off fast. And because from the Byron, like we were traveling, because Byron was, and I gotta tell this story because one, I'm giving my honor to what honors do, but then also like I can just tell you like one thing literally can just catapult your career into like something else, and like it can just go crazy. So anyway, make a long story short, because Byron was doing all like working and he was going crazy, like I think we were out like 3 or 4 times a week, bro, and I had just got to college, and I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And we're just having a good time and just working. And he ended up doing the Stellar Awards and stuff like that. So from there, I just started to get different looks. And I started to get different looks from people from just different MDs and stuff like that. And, like, you know, the guys that I admire as far as drummers, they started to be like, yo, man, like, who's this kid that's playing on Byron? He's really good, you know? So, Stellar Awards, and then from that, my dad asked me straight up. He said, yo, you're wasting a lot of money. He's like, you're making a lot of money, but you're wasting a lot of money because you're enrolled in school, but you're not going to school. He's like, I think you should make a decision. And I was like, and this is like, you know, I don't know if any kids gonna watch this, you know, watch the story or whatever. But I had to make a really hard decision. And my decision was to not finish school at that moment, not because I don't value education. I do value education. I do want to educate. I think I learn something every day. At that very moment, because the way my life was kind of turning, I wanted to basically take advantage of, it just made sense at that very moment, because it wasn't just like possible opportunities.
I have to do it. I don't mean to stop you, but like, yo, that's a gem. You gotta,
yeah, you gotta make it.
There's gonna be crossroads. You gotta make it. It happened with me too, because like when I moved to, not to cut you off, when I moved to Maryland, I went to school. I moved to school. My mom sent me to school, and when I started gigging and like taking it really seriously, because being in the Virgin Islands, I didn't want to be a professional musician because it was such a small scale. I couldn't see myself being a professional musician. The professional musician in my neighborhood, yeah, he looked cool with, you know, doing this, and he was on gigs, but he didn't look like he was living a good life, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to do this. I wanted to be an engineer, but I had this gift, you know what I'm saying? I had this gift that I had harvested and was working on, and then when I got to Maryland, like, it was a whole other, like, oh, God, like, I'm looking at these killers, y'all, you know, all of y'all, Daryl, all of y'all, and I'm like, man, I just wanna like learn as much as I can. And then I dropped out of school because, you know, at that point, like, I'm getting more opportunities. I'm gigging. I was living in North Maryland. I would take the train down to South Maryland, crash by the homies for the gigs, and then sometimes I wouldn't on the train. Then sometimes I wouldn't even be able to get back for class Monday, so I done miss one day. You might be like, damn, I done miss Monday. Let me see if I got anything Tuesday. By the time you recognize it, you missed 2-3 days of school. And I quit. And I didn't tell my parents. You know what I'm saying? I didn't tell because I knew how. Not at first.
Bugging.
Nah, but you got to. It's just, I knew my parents. I knew how disappointed they were going to be. because that's all they knew. They were like, yo, you're going to school. So it took me a year before I told my mom, like, yeah, like, I was lying, like, yo, mom, I'm still in school, like.
that's all she wanted me to do,
go to school, and she wasn't understanding this music thing. So for me, I had to make that crossroad decision, and I haven't regretted it. You know what I'm saying? Looking back, it was the right decision because I had more potential and actual opportunity where I was, what I was doing. But
there you go. That's exactly what I was going to, like, yeah. You had actual opportunity. Like, a lot of people, I'm gonna give you, like, I don't have to affect, but I'm gonna give you. But you know, you said it, like, actual opportunity, like, that might not actually be what you're called to do at that very moment. I believe I'm a stickler into, like, you know, following your calling and making sure, like, if you're being called in that direction. So you had actual opportunity, and actual opportunity, you know, will lead to other things. But a lot of people, like, sometimes people make decisions on hopeful opportunity. And I believe in faith, and I believe in, you know, allowing your faith to be stressed and stuff like that. But I also believe in, like, being smart and being wise. You know, the Bible talks about wisdom. You know what I'm saying? He says, ask for it, he'll give it to you freely. You know what I'm saying? So we just got to ask for it. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, you had actual opportunity, and I had actual opportunity not to just go work for somebody, but also make some money. Like, I was making money, and I was able to, you know, pay bills. I was able to take care of myself. And then that year, I think that year, too, that's when Janiyah, that's my firstborn, that's when she was conceived. And so, like, it was like, oh, man, like, I got to really hit the ground running. You know what I'm saying? So,
it got really, really serious
for me. So it was just important that, you know, like, I'm thankful for Byron. So that was to answer your initial question, that was my first, like, real understanding of how the role works. Because you understand, like, yo, if I'm late, I'm going to miss my flight. If I miss my flight, I might not get paid. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a whole thing. So, like, those principles
taking all your check for the next
flight. Yes, bro. Those principles start to, like, be downloaded in my brain and in my heart. So, like, it prepared me. So when I did get the call, and shout out to Andre, and shout out to Speezy. I can talk about Andre later, but Andre was the MD for Backstreet Boys at that moment. He called Speezy. I'm calling Aaron Spears Speezy. That's so he called Speezy to play, and then Speezy had to end up leaving because he had another run, and Andre had been seeing me play the other stuff around town and with Byron and stuff like that in the Stellar Wars, and he was like, yo, you think Jamal would be down to do it? And it was just like that, and Andre's been super pivotal in my life when it comes to those things, because he was also the one that called me for Daughtry, the rock thing I did. So, like, anytime I had to, I'm not going to say anytime, but, like, he's been one of those MDs that were kind of, like, that kind of looked at me and was like, yo, I see so much on your life, you know what I'm saying, so much on your life, and, like, you play so well, and he's just, like, you know, he just trusted me. And so he didn't mind putting me in different situations where I had to be not Church Mall or Byron Cage Mall, or, you know what I'm saying, or he put me in a situation where I had to be Pop Rock Jamal, or I had to be Pop Jamal, who had never really played pop before, but has the facility and a character to take criticism, but also has the facility to make the adjustment on the fly. You know what I'm saying? So many different things. You know, so he trusted me. So that was, like, so shout out to those people as well for, you know, being pivotal in my life at that very moment.
We need those people to see it. I'm saying, because that's super important. And just another thing about you, like, your work ethic is insane. I always told you, that's one thing I think I took from you, like, directly too. Like, no matter how good somebody told you you were, and no matter how many gigs you had or whatever, like, if you want to find Jamal on most days, he's practicing. And it's like, niggas who are, like, less talented than you don't practice as much. Absolutely. Like, what are you practicing towards? And it's just like, yo. I'm just keeping the sword sharp. You know what I'm saying? That's just how you roll. You know what I'm saying?
yeah, I used to get my behind handed to me. Yeah. I'm not gonna cuss because I hope that people tune in, but I used to get it handed to me. My friends used to hand it to me, and I told people all the time, like, yo, I was the last person they would think about calling. Like, literally. Like, the last person. And you know, I was okay with that. Like, I would call, like, I was calling the guys that they would call. I was calling, like, yo, I want to hang. I want to feel like, I want to just hang out with y'all or whatever. Da, da, da. And I, not so much to kind of, like, to take from what they got, but more so just kind of learn from them. You know what I'm saying? So I was the last person think about calling. And so, like, those principles I learned of, like, always sharp, like, always practicing when nobody's around, or practicing when people are around. Like, I got that because I wanted to be one of the best, bro. And I mean, I wanted to be the best. And I was attracted to, like, I was attracted to drums, bro. I was attracted. I'm attracted to the drum, the art of drumming, the craftsmanship of drumming. Like, I, you know, a lot of people, you know, talk about the flams and the diddles and stuff I play in, like the sticking and stuff like that. I'm really into the art of playing. Like, so outside of, like, the chops and outside of, like, grooving and stuff like that, I really took some time to kind of, like, develop my my gift, bro. Like, I had some people along the way that kind of helped me. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, even when I was in college, I had Richards. He used to tell me all the time, like, yo, your hands are uneven. I'm like, what you mean? He's like, yo, you right-handed. And I can tell off the rib, you right-handed. And I'm like, wow, okay. So it just made me work strong on my left.
You're leading more.
Yeah. Everybody, like, they ask now, and they be like, yo, you play so much stuff with your left hand. And I was like, and I tell them, like, yo, straight up, I worked on that. I literally worked on that. Like, I had my instructor in college literally go through my mechanics to be like, yo, you, like, make sure your hands is doing this, make sure your hands is doing that. And of course, you know, you put your own spin on it, but yeah, all right, that's enough about, like, what else you want? Like, let's go crazy, let's get controversial. What you got for me?
I have to give the people the background right, of cool. Who we're talking to. You know, Ollie, right? You know, it's like corporate. It got two sides of the podcast, you know what I'm saying? Probably gonna take a break right here momentarily, pay some bills. This is the once again, welcome to the Flying Intellectual Podcast. We have Jamal Moore, world-renowned drummer, brand owner, designer, producer, you know what I'm saying? I'm just a good guy all around, outside of all the hats he wears. And the name of this podcast, if you don't know, is The Virgil Effect. Rest in peace to Virgil Abloh, one of our heroes over here at FYI, one of Jamal's heroes. Yes, and I wanted to use him as the muse for today because I really kind of, like, equate you to, like, a Virgil. Why Virgil wears so many hats or wore so many hats? You know, it was almost asinine because it's like one day he's designing some shit for, like, Off-White. Another day he's, like, doing some architecture stuff because he had that architectural degree. Another day he's, like, DJing for, like, you feel me? Like, you know, growing up, a lot of times we were told by the OGs, like, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. And they kind of put us in a place where it felt like you have to concentrate on one thing at a time. And now we live in an all-inclusive world where it's like, nigga, if you don't do more than one thing, you might be extinct out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think just, you know, you being obviously a world-renowned drummer, and we're not saying this lightly, like, the world knows Jamal, but at the same time, you could stay in that box. You know, I'm pretty sure you could gig till you're 70 years old and be a legend, do these clinics and do these, you know, just walk through and, you know, whatever, but you find ways to, like, evolve in different ways. You know, you started, you know, working on clothing and all of these things that I saw. You know, obviously, you're a fly dude. You know, you always were into fashion and shit, but, like, let the people know, like, you know, where does that itch to always do something different and push yourself come from?
The itch to do something different, I'm, to be honest, bro, that's just my heart. Like, to be, like, I don't really have, like, a, oh, you know what, this person doing this, so I'm gonna go over here and do this. Like, I don't wake up thinking about what somebody else is doing. I know that it's like,
right,
that's unheard of in this world we live in because you got social media and all this other stuff, and we see it all the time. Yeah, but like, I can honestly say, like, the things that I have, I've had like total creation in, you know, and even like some partial creation is like, I just try to create from a pure place, and a pure place meaning like, I'm not thinking about nobody else. Like, subconsciously, indirectly, you know, we are influenced by our surroundings.
Influenced by things,
Even, like, the sound. By things, you know what I'm saying? But I try not to think about those things directly when, you know, if it subconsciously comes out, that's fine. But, like, it's not like, okay, well, this person played 30-second notes, so now I'm going to play 64-second. Like, I'm not thinking about that. You know, I'm just thinking, like, yo, this feels good. The desire to just kind of evolve, man, and just kind of being different things is just my gifts. I just felt like I am gifted in a few different things. You know, I am gifted. I think my main gift is the way I think, period. Like, I just think that's the main thing. So, like, it just comes out on the drum. It just comes out in different ways. Like, my brain is my... And it, honestly, I think that if we really tap into who we are, it's really all of our brains. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is what makes us different.
What did he say? I'm special. I just want it bad.
Straight up. So, you know, I just think I think about stuff different. I mean, my brain is just different. And I just apply it in all of the areas I can apply it in. And I try to just touch the things that I feel like I'm gifted in. Like, you're not going to see me trying to operate a camera or nothing like that, because I don't feel like I'm not a videographer.
However, you know, in your mind, you might know how you want to be shot. You might know, like, so it's still come. So I might, you might not physically have it, but you know what it looks like, which is a gift in itself, what it should look like.
For sure. That's the gift. Like, I'm not going to physically touch the video. But I'm going to be like, yo, I think that we need to have this right here. And I feel like we should have this right here. So I just try to take, that and apply it. But the things that I really touch, are the things that I'm really passionate about. And that right now, that's music and that's clothes. Of course, it's fatherhood. Creative directing. And when I say creative directing, I mean like in the capacity of like, managing other people's I have a few artists. I have a few artists that have hit me up and say, yo, bro, can you help me? And I'm like, help you with what? Like, you got your thing going? Like, nah. Like, I know what I'm trying to do, but I want some creative help, or I want some creative ways to stay on task. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just kind of like, so and to some degree I'm managing. Like, I got my hands in a few artists I'm managing a few artists, and I just want them to like be able to have their dreams come to pass, just like mine's have, and they still are. But
how I got into it too. I mean, literally, people would just ask, they'll be like, you know, every time I'm like on a music video shoot or something, like, people are asking me questions, or like, they want to see it from my point of view and see what I'm seeing. And eventually I was like, oh, that's a gift. Like, you know, I can influence people, and I know what's dope, you know what I'm saying? And I know how to structure things, and that's all those kind of things.
Yo said, I know what's dope. I know that's right. Yo, like, yo, I know what's dope. You know what, bro? I'm with that energy. Yeah. That whole energy of like, I mean, you know,
I know what's dope. This is dope. This is not dope.
You gotta have that type of like confidence. I didn't mean to cut you off. You gotta have that type of conviction, confidence, because like, you can't convince me before we even get to, you know, you can't convince me of something that you're trying to do if you don't wholeheartedly believe in it. And sometimes you gotta be the first one and the only one at a certain point to be like, yo, this is fire. This is absolutely fire. And it's not saying like, yo, like, I'm super, like, we're not talking about arrogance.
Nah, we're talking about confidence in your abilities and what God gave you. And that's straight up, like, that's how we should all be, you know?
It's just boasting it, bro, boasting it. Yes, sir. I probably should have said boasting it, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. Y'all know what I'm trying to say.
Facts. Y'all get the let's use that to segue the school of Ye, right? So, We're gonna talk about we're gonna talk about, you know, obviously I wanna hear about Virgil and what he meant to you, what on all of that, but like let me give the grand scheme of things.
Scheme of things is if Ye played drums, he would play drums like me. If Ye,
if Ye played drums,
he would play drums like
he would. He would play drums like you.
Period.
I'm here for it. I think so too. I think Ye is one of them dudes.
Okay, the school of Ye. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm.
You got it. I'm not even mad, bro. Like, Kanye West.
Yeah.
Very controversial figure in the world.
Yeah.
A lot of people love him. A lot of people
hate.
I won't say hate, but dislike for whatever reason. Nobody is perfect. But for me, Kanye West is a staple of culture. Kanye West is the most influential black man of all time.
Okay, Fly Young Intellectual Podcast. Listen, yo, y'all don't understand. This is funny because you love to be like, Ma, you see Ye?
I be that person you know to sometimes. Yes.
To be that person to
but,
me, right?
At the same time, I've always loved Ye. But when I feel like he out of bounds, out of pocket, I'm not friends with him, so I can't hit him on a text.
For sure.
So I gotta hit the next closest man.
For sure.
I hit you on the text.
When I'm out of pocket.
I know you personally. Vice versa. You feel me? So, be hitting you like, I'm not really feeling that. You know what I'm saying? And here's the reasons why. I don't know disrespectful shit. But for you,
I seen that post, yo.
Is it good?
You good, yo?
You're not good. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
You're not okay.
So, but for the grand scheme of things, man, Kanye West is, I can't see a world without Kanye West. I don't know what the world would look like without him because we do not have many people who will put themselves on the front lines every single day to try and keep knocking down doors to show people like, hey, man, you could do it too. Come over here. Or to keep creating and to keep doing things and people be like, them wave runners are whack. I can't tell you how many times Ye has like put some shit out or like just previewed some shit, and niggas will be like, "Oh, them shits look terrible." That's it. And then when them shits drop, bruh, what was it? Is it the wave runners?
It was the wave runners, bro.
They went to town on him, and now that's like the airport shoe.
Absolutely, it's the airport shoe. It's the lounge shoe. I want the wave runners real, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the re-up shoe. Like, that shoe became like super super common, and like that color, like even that colorway, like the first colorway, like the gray blue and the with the shoestrings, like that was a thing. But like, of course, it just expounded. But yeah, bro, like mad people talk mad shit. Yo, I was sitting in front of somebody one day and they was going dumb on Ye. I mean, dumb. And they had his shoes on. And I was like, yo, to some.
And they had his shoes on!
Yo, you know what I'm saying? Like what they're saying wasn't wrong. Like, I wasn't even mad at them. What got weird to me was the fact that they'll do this, like, yo, he's stupid. He's this and da da da. And I'm like, yo, to some degree, like, I get why you're saying that. Because if you're directing it towards this comment or these actions, yes, that was stupid. But like, let's not put it all in one thing. Like, you know, I am a believer in like, yeah, yo, like we not like you said, we're not perfect, but that should never take away from like you
That's
being
what I'm
gifted
saying.
You being
so. Let me ask you that: how do you feel? Do you feel like you should separate the artist from the person? Like, you feel you should separate their work?
I don't think you can.
Okay.
I don't think you can.
That's actually controversial. I didn't think you would have said that. I didn't think you said you can't. You can't.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can separate I feel like who you are as a person, you, like all these things build your artistry. Like you're like, it's a conglomerate of like, it's a mixture of all of the things that you've experienced and all the things you haven't experienced. You know, and sometimes like, let's just think about it, bro. Like, I just don't think it's possible. I don't think it's like, I can go on a rabbit hole. Like, I just don't think it's possible. Kanye, yourself, you know, how like when people are really moving to real artistry, you don't necessarily get to turn off until you go to sleep. Period. The end. Like, you can be in your house and you can have your homies there. You still just kind of like, I don't think you can just turn off the artistry thing. You know, I don't think it's just a separate way. Like, of course, it's probably healthy too, you know, but I just don't think it's possible, man. I think the real creative. I always like
a lot of people. It's a burden. It's not a burden, but it's a heavy load that like to have to walk with that all the time. And you can't just put it down. You can't put it down when you feel it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that when you're tapping into it fully. You feel me? So you have Kanye, and then you had some of these people who Kanye influenced, like
Chicago. Chicago Dossie,
Virgil, Jerry. I mean, literally, like, all the savants, all the top guys, for the most part, black top guys.
Jasper, don't forget Jasper. Preston,
I was trying to, we gonna keep thinking of the,
It's a list.
And these guys are affecting culture in a crazy way. You know, how do you feel like the overall school of Ye? Do you feel like he gets enough credit for it? Even Virgil going to Louis, obviously, you know, it hurt Ye because Ye was the Louis Vuitton Don, and nobody made LV hotter than Ye when he was really hot with them. And, you know, his student got the nod for, you know, I feel like it was a lot of different reasons. I feel like Virgil knew how to walk into that room. He might feel a way about something, but he's not gonna say like, yo, you know, whatever that looks like. He's just gonna be like,
He's not gonna be yeah.
So, you know, he walked a little different. How do you feel that affected, you know, the school of Yay? How do you feel that impacted culture?
I mean, bro, there's going to always be a person that changes something for, like, you know, this will always be a ripple effect. Like, all right, this person thought about the world this way and he got a few other people to think about this, or he connected himself with other people that thought about that way, that didn't necessarily have the didn't have like the clout or the attention. Like, you know, but he had it at that very moment. Like, any of them could have been Ye. Virgil could have been Ye if he was, you know what I'm saying? Like, he could have, when I say Ye, he could have been in Ye's position or been the leader of that. If, you know what I'm saying? Like, he could have been there, like, if he was rapping and he was producing. Like, I just feel like it happened for Ye. And it just so happened that he was connected to those guys at that very moment. And, like, and they would kind of all influence each other. I'm not going to say Ye was the only one. Like, I'm sure, like, Virgil was, you know, like, nah, we should think about it like this. And because they all are, like you say, Virgil would mess around and be DJing, and you mess up. Like, Jasper mess around and be cutting his hair. You know what I'm saying? And Don mess around and be, like, probably looking at clothes and work. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like they all influence each other. I just think Ye was a leader at that very moment because of, like, what he was doing. Like, he was rapping and he was connected to Jay and da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? So,
he was the top of the world. And he was different. So whatever he did influenced whatever. You know what I'm saying? He was that bold. And it, essentially, Virgil had his own school too. You know what I'm saying? Because you have Tremaine Emery's of the world and them boys.
Okay,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Go to history a little bit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know.
You're supposed to lead. You're supposed to help the next, bro. You're supposed to help the next crew. Like, and you know, Virgil's crew might not. They might not all be designers. Some of them might be like DJs. Some of them might be like teachers. You just don't know. Like, some of them might be like art. You know, art designers, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't know. So I'm sure that it's just a principle. If you look at if you ask me, it's just a principle that we're supposed to abide by. But like, yeah, man, like, we all got our crew. Like, I'm hoping my crew get I want my crew to get it. And they supposed to fly. Like, I'm so, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Ye walking LV, he did LV first. And, like, because, you know, I don't even know why the like why he didn't do more LV after that. Yeah. But, like, because he did it first or because they were, you know, they were connected, it was an easy play for Virgil. Like, you know what I'm saying? And they gave him the, like, they gave him the status. And then, you know, they let him, they rolled a real red carpet off of him and let him do what he needed to do. So, I don't see nothing wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? I don't see nothing wrong with it. As long as we're growing, history is not lost. You know what I'm saying? I think it's very important that we give, because I'm going to give credit. Yeah, I'm going to pay homage to, like, oh, like, yeah. I just went down a story list, like,
pay them
people, and that's just, mm-hmm. and that's just one side of it. Like, I could have talked about when I was hanging with Buggy, and my uncles was taking me to go see Buggy when I was 10 years old. You know what I'm saying? I could have talked about that. I could have talked about when I met JJ for the first time, and JJ, like, when JJ set up my first drum set at my dad's church, and I was only 8 years old, like I just gave you one side of it, but, like, bro, I'm influenced by all these people, and I'm paying homage to those people. I'm never going to not pay homage. So I just think that as we're making more history, history shouldn't be lost. You know what I'm saying? So as long as they don't forget, like Gay said on the end of it, he's like, you know, I'm the leader, baby.
I'm the leader, right? I texted Lauren.
And we're not gonna make this about. Yeah, we're not gonna make this about. We're not gonna yay us on this. On this break.
I want us to lose. I'm the leader. You one of the leaders. Nah, I'm the leader. Nah. You know what I'm saying? That's how you. That's how you should feel. But nah, it's influence and it's impact, man. And you know, as even when it came to Virgil, like, you know, people feel like he passed, you know, alone and all that. And I'm like, you know, first of all, just knowing the guy from afar, all that mattered to him was the work. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't here for the flash. He wasn't here for the thrill of it. He just wanted to keep impacting the world. And the only way you really do that is through the work. And, you know, I can imagine that even Virgil on his last week, because I saw the tribute to him through his last show, you know, Virgil was here. And, you know, just the amount of work he did, I know most of that stuff was done and he was in pain. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, like, it was important to him to make sure that got put out and to make sure that legacy was left. And, you know, that's just the kind of mindset we have to have. Like, for the FYI thing is all about mindset. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you know, we have the brand management and all this stuff, these different things under the umbrella, but the whole ethos of it is about mindset. If the mindset ain't right, you know what I'm saying? And if we're not knowing why we're doing what we're doing, then it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? It's all in vain if we're not here to try and, like, influence the world, impact the world, leave a legacy for our kids, our friends, whatever, you know, the people who want to be inspired and need inspiration. Yeah. So, you know, people like Virgil and Ye, they are crucial for the Black community, in my opinion. And there's more out there, you know what I'm saying, in different realms. We're just talking about that because we're in design and we you know, that's the kind of space we like to fill. Talking about design, you know, we do brand development and stuff over here, and branding is important. I always try to, like, drop some branding tips. I think you're, like, one of the, like, dopest at branding. Obviously, the Jamal Moore brand is a brand in itself. That's an entity. And then you have, you know, yeah, absolutely. And then you have Kairos. Talk to us about, you know, that brand. Talk to us about the ethos and the beginning of that. What kind of sprung about that idea and how you feel about where it's at now?
Yo, Kairos is his own, like, Kairos is his own thing, man. Kairos came about because I was trying to find something to name my company at that very moment. Like, I was, you know, getting my logistics together and one of my things to be together. And I'm like, oh, I got to have a brand. And so at that very moment, my dad was doing some teaching on Kairos. And it just stuck to me. As soon as I heard, I'm like.
And tell the people what Kairos means for those who don't know. Hey, we're here to educate. Inform, inspire, interact. That's
I'm gonna talk about the Kairos.
I'm gonna go crazy on it, but
my dad was talking about it at that very moment. He was teaching on it, and it just stuck to me, man. And I'm like, yo, I think that I'm gonna name my stuff Kairos, you know? Like, Do I want to just keep it Kairos, or do I want to put Worldwide next to it? Like, so, you know, I played with it. I talked with it. I wrote it down a bunch of times just because I wanted to see how it looked. That's just how I am. I wanted to write it down. And I was
quick gem, writing down is important, yo. Like, I don't think people understand the power of writing something down.
Oh, my
God, bro.
Oh, my God. I wish I could. I wish I had my other book around here, but, like, my other book, like, I literally write down. Like, and that book is my newer book, but I write down everything. I write down, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Or I had this problem today, or this blew me today, or this hurt my feelings. Like, I literally write everything. It's not even, like, a. It's not even just like a to-do list. It's literally like everything. It's a journal. It is a to-do list. It's a journal. It's my feelings. Is it like, yo, in the top, the title of that one, well, the title of all of them is The Power of Words. Because words are powerful, bro. Like, they're powerful when you speak them, and they're powerful when you write them down. And, like, when you do both of them, that's an agreement. I'm not going to fall into that, but once you put both of them together, write it down. It says write it and make it plain. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to get the Bible. It said write it and make it plain. And then it also says speak those things as they are. When you start aligning those things. But anyway, so Kairos is, that's not even what Kairos is. Kairos is like, it's a few people that explain this in a perfect way. I don't explain it in a most perfect way, but Kairos is equivalent to, like, time, not like present time, but like infinity time. And I feel like that's, like, in that time where everything starts to agree. So I guess this does kind of, like, go to, like, Kairos, when everything starts to agree, when everything you talked about, everything you've been dreaming about, everything that you've written down, everything that is around you, when those things start to come and lock in like a puzzle and start to agree, like, I feel like that's when you're living in Kairos time. So Kairos is that for me. It's that, like, you know, it's everything in agreeing, everything working together for the good of not just myself, but the people that are connected to Kairos. You know, so we call it Kairos gang because, like, I want people to start putting that in their brain, like, yo, like, this is a movement. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything is okay in my life. Everything is working together for me. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I'm going to see the fruits of it. Well, I'm seeing the fruits of it, and I'm going to continue to see the fruits of it. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, it, you know, you can expound on it, you know. Shout out to my dad for giving me the gems and, like, planting those seeds. And I don't explain it. I don't tap in. I'm not going to say I don't explain it, but I do explain it, right? But I don't tap into all of the key points that Kairos is, because, like, it's a crazy thing. It's a rabbit hole. But for me, Kairos is that's my baby. That's my brand. That's my church. That's my whole vibe. And
but that's the thing. It doesn't have to be perfect. Like, you don't have to go down the rabbit hole. Even, like, I let people know all the time. Branding is, you know, the essence of what it is just making sure that the DNA and what you want related to be brought through the definition. So for me. Even Virgil, like, when with the off-white thing, I used to love how he perfectly explained that, which was, like, you know, life isn't black and white. It's gray, right? There's this space where people feel like one or two things can't be true at the same time, or, like, you know, I can't make streetwear high fashion, you know what I'm saying, or all these kind of things. So, like, here's this brand off-white where I merge whatever the hell I want to merge together, how I feel, how I interpret fashion, how I see the world. And there's this gray area, this off-white area, and that's where this all lives. So for me, Kairos, that makes sense to me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Forever, you know what I'm saying? Everything aligning. And, you know, literally, things are aligning because, you know, how long have you had the brand now?
2020, 2021. I've had it for, like, officially I've had it for, like, 4 years.
And, like, now, you know, the scaling and the reach of the brand is getting crazy.
Well, yeah, they're like 4 to 5 years. It's taking on its own legs, which is kind of what I wanted to do. I wanted it to have its own legs, man. I you know, a lot of people do this whole thing, like, yo, you don't post it on your main page. And I'm like, yeah, I know I don't post on my main page. And I'm trying to do better with that. But at the same time, my intention is for it to, like, live without it being posted.
Without Jamal Moore's influence.
I don't necessarily, and I appreciate people connecting it to my name and, like, rocking with it because, you know, rocking with, before we even get to the close, but just rocking with Kairos Worldwide, like, the movement, be, you know, because of my name. But I really wanted to, like, live on forever without me being attached. So, like, I don't mind it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind my name living on forever or, like, the things that I do. But I want this branch to live on forever because I feel like it's strong enough. The foundation is strong enough. And the intentions are so pure that it could penetrate the world for as long as God will allow it to, honestly.
That's real. That's real, man. Yo, thanks for stopping by and checking out part one of Jamal Moore's interview on the Fly Young Intellectual podcast. Come back next week and check out part two as we dive into some of our favorite designers. I ask him some rapid fire questions, some questions he wasn't even ready for, and even some historical stories between him and I that will be sure to entertain you. So, yo, next week, same time, same place. Inform, inspire, interact is what we're about. I'm your host, Kem. Until then, peace.